Hello everyone, thank you very much. We better make a start. If you don't know me, I'm Dr. Justin Green, Director of Student Experience and Progression for the Department of Politics and International Studies. And I always used to do this, this talk on exams towards the start of term three. But in response to feedback from the SSLC, or Student Staff Liaison Committee, I brought this forward to this week. The students have informed us that it would be helpful to do things, basically explain it all to you now, so you're aware in advance of the Easter vacation. And I think this is an example of where your SSLC, the feedback you give for your SSLC, can make a difference in actually changing things within the department to support our students. So this is the second year I've done it earlier in response to feedback from students. There's quite a few spare seats in the middle, so there should be enough space for everyone. If you all kind of move up or something, there should be enough space for everyone. There's lots of spare spaces kind of in the middle. But it is good to see such a good turnout at 4 o'clock on Thursday of week 10. So thank you very much for coming along. Thank you. There's still people coming in now. Good grief. Okay. So really good turnout. Who here is on my first year module, my normal PR21 module? Okay, brilliant. Who isn't? So you've lost out all year not being able to take my module. You might have heard things about, you know, that I have video clips in the lectures and that kind of thing. Unfortunately, there's no video clips at all today in this one. So if you come along for that, there's no video clips at all. There's just lots of me talking, giving lots of information about exams. And I can't promise it's going to be the most exciting lecture you've ever been in. You're talking about exams, isn't that exciting, is it? However, I do hope it will be one of the most useful ones that you've been in, okay? So that's the idea. It's not going to be really, really exciting. But do try and stay awake at 4 o'clock on week 10, because I think this is some really important information. I am recording it, so the recording and the slides will go up online as well, and I will email out the link, so you will have this as a resource to come back to. So, this is a lecture in my capacity of Director of Student Experience and Progression on maximising your exam performance in your first year exams. So it's that time of year again. I know it's not your favourite time of year, and we cannot promise it will be easy. However, I hope this lecture will give some tips and advice to help you on the way. If you do want to interrupt at any point and put your hand up and ask a question, if anything's unclear, then please do not hesitate to do so. And this is going to relate to PACE modules, any modules from the Department of Politics and International Studies. So if you're taking outside modules or modules in other departments, if you're in ePACE or History and Politics or PPE, things of course may work slightly differently if you're taking exams for other subjects. So what I'm talking about is relates to modules within the Department of Politics and International Studies that have an exam component. So specifically, we're talking about Intro to Politics and World Politics. But some of what I say is probably going to be useful for other modules too. And some of what I say would also be useful in terms of future years of study as well. Now, on my module that I teach, PR21 Political Research in the 21st Century, there's no exams at all. However, that module has been about transferable skills and so on. So this is a bonus lecture in my role as Director of Student Experience and Progression, as I said. I should stress it will supplement all the other support you're going to get. I know that beginning the next term on Intro to Politics and World Politics, you will be getting further guidance in the lectures and seminars on your exams. So they will be giving you even more detailed information at the start of next term in terms of how things will work on those modules. But I'm going to give you a head start today with some good general advice. So as I said, my module 100% assessed work. Intro to Politics and World Politics are 100% exam, okay? Some of you might have been doing other 15 cap modules in the politics department that are assessed by assessed essays. Now, the good news is, certainly in terms of PACE modules, I know Intro to Politics and World Politics are 100% exam, which might not appeal to all of you necessarily, but that will never happen to you again in PACE modules, because in your second year with PACE modules, you have the option if you wish, to do 50% coursework, 50% exam, okay? The second year modules, you do have that option. And in your final year, for a lot of our modules, you have the option of doing 100% coursework, if you wish. So in future years of study for PACE modules, you won't necessarily have to do 100% exams unless you wish to. However, for Intro to Politics and World Politics, they are 100% exams. And if you work hard and do the work, the number of fails is pretty low. And I'll come back to that in a moment in terms of the marks and what's expected and so on. So the focus for today, I'm going to talk about revision, the kind of lead up to the exams, but also the exams themselves. And I'll also be giving a bit of information in terms of, well, at least what we know about the exam timetable and how it will work and the release dates and that kind of thing. So, plan ahead, keep calm, study for your exams. And what really is the purpose of it? We want you to do well. We want our students to do well. We're looking for opportunities for you to do well. The idea of exams is to assess whether you've understood the module or course material. It allows you to demonstrate works that's entirely your own, so it's a lot more difficult to plagiarise within exams. It requires a high release of energy and focus, which can be very, very helpful, because a degree of stress is a good thing. Obviously, too much stress is not a good thing, but a small amount of stress can be a good thing. And it's a very intense kind of learning that's not easy to reproduce under other conditions. We're sometimes asked as a department, why don't we kind of allow kind of exams, an opportunity in a seminar to do a practice exam question under time conditions or something like that. And that's something that we're reflecting on as a department. You know, maybe it's something we could look at. However, even if we did do that, it's really not reproduced. You know, it's not the real thing. And it's really difficult to reproduce those exact time conditions. But certainly in exams, demonstrating an ability to work under pressure and so on, which are good transferable skills for the future. Now, here's some good news, some positive news. Clearly, we are not expecting you in an exam to produce work of the same quality as we're expecting if you've been given weeks to write essays. You know at the start of term what your essay titles are going to be for that term, even for the year. And of course, you all plan ahead, you never do essays the night before, you're spending weeks writing them, okay? So obviously, we're going to be expecting higher standards of work in formative assessed essays than in an exam, okay? Clearly, in an exam, you cannot produce the same quality, okay? And realistically, sometimes students say, well, how much do I need to write in an exam? Well, certainly in Intro to Politics and World Politics, as I understand, it's a 3-hour exam where you would have to write 4 answers, so 4 essays in 3 hours. So what that only gives you really under 45 minutes, isn't it? A question, if my maths is correct. So it doesn't give you a huge amount of time. And students sometimes say, well, how much should I be writing? Well, it's a difficult question to answer because it depends really on how big your handwriting is, okay? But certainly, you know, 3 or 4 sides would be quite typical. Obviously, in exams, it's handwritten as well. So try and make it so that people can read what is being said. The 3 or 4 sides would be typical, but it's really difficult to give an answer because it depends on your handwriting and so on. And actually, concise answers can actually be really effective. You don't have to write out references or bibliographies in full at the end, okay? In an exam, we are not expecting a bibliography, okay? We're not expecting a list of references at the end. However, it is a good thing in your answers to be able to cite literature. But we're not expecting you to remember page numbers and that kind of thing. But if you can go, I don't know, Grant in 2010 said this, or Morgenthau in a certain book said this, then that's a good thing because it's showing a command of the literature. Because we're looking for your arguments, but we do need you to back it up with evidence or use of the literature, wider reading, that kind of thing. So yes, name academics, name scholars, maybe name the book that you're referring to or the year of the book, but we're not expecting detailed references or a bibliography in exams. And I suppose compared to continuous assessment, at least within traitor politics and world politics, you haven't been under continuous pressure throughout the year in terms of assessments. It all comes at the end. So exams, because of the stress, it can give you the willpower and energy to take matters in hand, pull together your understanding. And actually, often when you're under exam conditions, in the exam yourself, because there is that pressure, you're kind of thinking on your feet, and that pressure can be a creative force and allowing you to understand the material far better than you would have done otherwise. So really taking command of knowledge in the exam room, not being reliant on books and so on. So there are some positives. So what does count as success? Okay, well, the pass mark for first year exams in PACE is 40%. And you do need to pass all your modules. So if you got kind of 80% in intro to politics, but only 35 in world politics, you still need to retake world politics. So it's not an average, you need to pass all PACE modules. So the pass mark is 40, which is not that high, 40%. We hope, of course, that you will do a lot better than that. And certainly there are advantages in doing better than that, because the better you do in your first year exams, the better it's going to prepare you for your future years of study. Remember, how well you do in your first year exams does go on file, so it could be used for references in the future and that kind of thing as well. And if you are, as I understand it, if you're going down to study abroad in your second year, you may have been expected to get a 2-1 average over your first year as well. So it does matter, and it's, although 40% is the pass mark, there are advantages certainly in aiming to do a lot better than that. However, the amount of fails, as I said, is reasonably low. Often when students fail, it might be because of welfare, mental health reasons, those kinds of things. Or students have basically just given up. They've got in the exam, they've given up and they just haven't bothered answering the final question. Or they've mismanaged time and they just haven't even attempted the final question. And that then can make it difficult to pass. But generally speaking, the pass rate is very high. But do remember that if you do fail, you have the opportunity to retake in September. Okay? So there is a second chance. Obviously, we hope it doesn't come to that, but there is an opportunity to retake any exams that you fail in September. So you do get given a second chance. So hopefully that can be some reassurance. And remember these things as well. A candidate who is absent from an examination or assessment because of illness or other exceptional personal circumstances may be permitted to sit the module for the first time in September or at the next available opportunity. And where a candidate's performance is compromised by severe medical or personal difficulties, the board may disregard the examination or assessment and permit a deemed first sit in September. So essentially, cutting through the jargon, what that essentially means is if there are mitigating circumstances, welfare, medical reasons, that may mean that your September attempt is the first attempt and not the second attempt. Okay, so you do get two attempts to pass your first year exams. Finding out the basics, I think there are some important things. How many exams will you have? When are they going to be? Exam timetables, past papers, that kind of thing. Now, the university exam period runs from weeks 4 to 9 of term 3. Okay? So the university exam period runs from weeks 4 to 9 of term 3. And what normally happens is that the final year exams are at the beginning, the first year exams are in the middle, and the second year exams are towards the end. That's generally what you would expect. You would expect first year exams to fall within the middle, maybe weeks 5, 6, 7, that kind of time. But that's only a guide, because technically exams can fall at any point. But it is likely that first year exams will be in the middle. And the provisional exam timetable will appear on the examination office pages. In fact, what I do is the slides will go up online, and if you click on those links, It will take you through to the relevant information. You can expect the provisional timetable to be released by the university next week, first week of the Easter vacation, okay? That is the provisional timetable, because occasionally things can change. And the final version will then be released on the first week of next term, okay? Provisional one next week, the final version first week of next term. That's decided by the university. It's the university that sets the exam timetable, not the course department. The university sets the timetable. Sometimes it's not popular with all students because you could have an exam on a Saturday. Okay? I know, tragic. You could have two exams on the same day. That can occasionally happen. Okay? Oh dear, I'm not making I'm just a messenger. Okay, don't blame me. Oh dear. Riot in the room, okay. So this is the university, okay? But seriously, you think about it. They're trying to coordinate and organise hundreds and hundreds of exams. So sometimes it might mean two on the same day or exams on Saturday. I mean, maybe that won't happen, but it could do potentially. I think last year one of them was on a Saturday, World Politics and Greater Politics. Could have been. Oh dear. Right. But anyway, the provisional timetable comes out next week. You can also get hold of past papers, so you can look through past papers. Although do remember that syllabuses can change, modules can change from year to year, so it's good also to check with people that are teaching the module whether the past papers are truly reflective. And I think there might be, I think there should be specimen exam paper on the module websites as well, if you have a look for them on Intro to Politics and World Politics as well. And do attend any revision sessions next term. Also speak to your personal tutors, your seminar tutors. Basically, there are loads of people here to support you and help you. So me, your personal tutor, your module tutors, module directors. So please get all the support you need in their advice and feedback hours next term. And remember, your seminar tutors are able, as the undergraduate handbook points out, to provide feedback on the structure of an essay plan or an exam answer up to a page of A4. So that might be something that you might want to do. We can't look at complete drafts, but we can look at a plan. Sometimes we're asked in the PACE department for specimen answers, whether that could be specimen exam answers or specimen essays. And we historically have not done that for two reasons. One, the literature moves on so quickly that what could have been a 2-1 or a first last year may not be a first or 2-1 this year because the literature just moves on so quickly. Secondly, a big difference between university and what you might have been used to before is that at A-levels it's very much about marking schemes, about mentioning certain things, for getting marks when you mention things. At university, it just does not operate in that way. There's no one way of getting a first. There's no one way of getting a 2-1. There are many different ways of getting a first and a 2-1. And if we had specimen answers, it just wouldn't be the way university works, and it wouldn't be very helpful because it would suggest there's only one way or a small number of ways of doing well. And that's just not the case. So as I said, do remember that module content can change. And the earlier papers may contain topics that are no longer covered or going to be examined. That's our way of keeping modules up to date and at the cutting edge. So do rely on guidance from lecture and seminar tutors and the current module website and list of topics as well. So in terms of the revision process, again, lots of this stuff sounds really common sense, but lots of students do forget. So check you have covered the syllabus in sufficient breadth and depth, remind yourself of what you've learned, check your understanding, employ strategies to help recall in the exam room, but remember that exams are not a memory test. Now, when I say not a memory test, so clearly you need knowledge, because if you didn't have any knowledge, if you didn't know anything, you'd have nothing to write. So clearly there is a degree of remembering things and revising things, of course there is. But it's less so at university because it's far more about creating your arguments and having strong arguments. And obviously that's a challenge in an exam setting. And a good bit of advice from North Edge, who says get your thinking in before the exam. What that basically means is you can probably guess the kind of broad range of topics that are going to come up. So if you have particular views on democracy, legitimacy, power, ideologies, whatever it might be, think through what your arguments are, what your beliefs are, what your opinions are in advance of the exam, so that you formulated your thoughts and thinking before the exam, and then you can actually, rather than trying to come up with what you think and in the exam itself. Now obviously you need to do a bit of that in the exam, because you're not going to know the questions in advance, but it can help if you've come to broad thoughts and ideas and opinions on the broad topics. So as Eisenhower said, in planning for battle, I've always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable. I wouldn't say plans are completely useless. I think planning through things can be good. But planning is really, really important. Another thing to be cautious of is that when you've been doing exams in the past, you might have assumed that your plan would be marked. Within the exam, what you often might do is write a plan and then you'll write the actual answer. But at university, you shouldn't assume that you're going to get marks for the plan, okay? It's actually what you write as your exam answer that's going to get you the credit. So do prepare yourself. Organise your notes, reduce your notes, go have key headings, points and citations, make mastercards, memory triggers, pattern notes, concept pyramids, interactive learning, so test your recall. Often a good way of learning can actually be to record things. So you can record into a recorder, you facts and information, and just listen to it back, you know, maybe fall asleep, listen to all these facts about world politics. Some evidence that then your brain, even when you're sleeping, will be taking all this stuff in, okay? Sounds a bit odd, but these kind of things can work. Talk to a friend, test each other. Don't just read and read and read, check that you're actually taking things in. And remember, you're going to learn far more through interactive learning than you are just from reading and nothing else. Think about the location that works best for you. I haven't put down the Pace Common Room there, have I? I really should have done as a possibility. And take regular breaks. Remember to take care of yourself in terms of food, sleep, relaxation, exercise, and rewards. I put internet blocking software. I'm not sure whether you'll feel able to not go on Facebook during the exams, but that's something you might want to consider if you think you're constantly being tempted. Now, another thing that comes up is how many topics should I revise? Okay? And I get really nervous about answering this question, because I could just imagine if I said to a student, revise 5 topics, and then none of them come up, and then I've got the parents' lawyers on to me or something like this, okay? So I'm always really cautious not to actually give a set number on that. But really, you cannot be expected to know everything, but at the same time, you can't be too selective. Some of your tutors may recommend a number of topics to revise. Others may leave it to your judgment. But the problem is that topics cut across each other, don't they? Okay? It's really difficult to separate out one topic from another. And often the best exam answers are going to be those that do bring in things from other topics, or do bring in things from other modules. Okay? And cutting across modules and bringing in information from elsewhere is a good thing, because it's a holistic approach, and you'll get credit for doing that. I said less exam answers questions recently. I think that's something just to check with your module directors and tutors, how many exam questions there are likely to be on the exam paper. So draw up a timetable, work out exactly how much time you've got to revise, factor in for potential emergencies and time to relax, divide the time up between your different modules and different topics, set aside time for practicing the past papers, which are available online, and revise with friends, have study buddies and revise together, because that could be really helpful. Now, in terms of this, remember that quality, relevance and critical analysis are far more important than quantity. And good, concise answers can get high marks. But something you need to be aware of, in the world now, I mean, how often do you write things down now? Everything's done by computer, isn't it? So whenever you're doing things, you're used now to writing on computers, writing on mobile phones. You very rarely write by hand anymore, okay? So you might want to practice doing that, basically, before the exam, building up writing speed in a way that's still legible, okay? because we do it so, we just don't write things anymore. It has been suggested, I think, by a couple of students, why couldn't we allow all students to sit their exams on a computer? Okay? Sounds like a great idea, but can you just imagine if there were 500, because I think on interest policy, 500 students, imagine getting 500 computers, and then what happened if they broke? There was some power failure or something like that, or computers weren't working, and that kind of thing. It would just be an absolute nightmare, so it's just not practical. So it's very, very old-fashioned, but that's the way that things need to work. But you might want to think up strategies of how to increase writing speed. But maybe when you're under pressure, you will be able to write faster than you think. Brainstorm questions to past exam questions, but also seminar questions too. In the module website, there will be seminar questions as well. So you might want to go back over those and ensure that you know the relevant material. Make outline plans for as many questions as you can, but don't learn answers because the same exam question isn't going to come up in the same way. When you're looking through the previous exam papers from previous years, you might want to look, is there a trend? Are certain questions coming up and just being phrased slightly differently? Time yourself for writing some of these to build up writing speed and general practice. Discuss questions with others, work out plans, and so on. Right, on the day itself, obviously eat well before the exam, be there in good time, listen carefully to the instructions, read and make sure you understand the instructions. Now, again, some of this stuff you're thinking sounds obvious, and I've gone, always check both sides. In my time, a number of students said, oh, I didn't realise there were questions on the other side of the exam paper, okay? See whether that, check both sides of the exam paper. Check what questions might be on the other side as well, even if you think it's blank. And also check you've been given the right exam paper as well. If you look at it, it looks wrong. Is it the right exam paper? So do check these basic things on the day. Read through all the questions very, very carefully. Select your questions, making sure you fully understand what they mean and what they require, so the order in which to answer. And always spend 5 to 10 minutes planning your answer. And as I said, unlike at school and college, do not assume your plan will count if you do not have time to finish the answer. Please remember the university regulation that says candidates are forbidden to take into an exam room any books, papers, calculators, or any information storage or retrieval device or any bag or bags unless there is an express provision otherwise in the case of a particular paper. And universities resolve all students should not be permitted to take mobile phones into exams as well. And there's full information available online on that. So, as I said, with the PACE exams, Intro to Politics and World Politics, you're going to get 4 questions in 3 hours. So that is 45 minutes per question, including 5 to 10 minutes preparation time. Ensure you answer 4 questions and that you divide your time as evenly as possible between them, because your overall mark, when students fail, honestly, it's honestly because they haven't even bothered with the final question. Okay? So it's far more likely you're going to get less than 40 if you haven't written any question answer at all. So however bad you think things are going, please do stay until the end of the exam. Please do attempt all 4 questions, because if you do attempt all 4 questions, getting 40% is going to be a lot more easy to achieve. And the law of diminishing returns, it's much easier to get the first 30 or 40 marks than the final 20. So time yourself properly, do ensure that you are allowing yourself time to answer all of the questions. Because again, if you only allow yourself 15 minutes to do the last question, your mark is really, really going to then fall down in terms of how that works. It's difficult to specify a specific number of pages because it depends on your handwriting, as I've said. I have seen excellent exam answers of a couple of pages. More generally, 3 or 4 pages is likely to bring success. Making sure the examiner can read it is obviously a key issue. Can I give you one bit of advice? Please make the exam, although they're all anonymous, okay, so the examiner does not know who you are, so it's an anonymous marking. Because of that, it might not necessarily be marked by your seminar tutor, because it'd be a random allocation, to be fair. So I always say to students, do not write for a particular tutor, just write the best answers, because it might not be your tutor writing it, marking it, because it's anonymous, random selection for fairness, that kind of thing. But try and make the examiner like you, nevertheless, even though they don't know who you are. Make it easier for them, so make it easy to read. Please avoid paragraphs that go on for 4 pages. Okay? You know, you're trying to mark an exam, it's just a continuous paragraph for 4 pages. And that's just going to rewind the examiner up. It's just really difficult to follow. So ensure good structure, good paragraph construction, maybe leave a line between paragraphs so that it's easy to follow. Okay? These basic things about creating a good impression are really, really important. Lots of talking to yourself. I didn't realise this was such an exciting topic, honestly. Answer the question, not the one that you wish you had been asked. I know there's a temptation to answer the question you wish you'd have been asked. Challenge assumptions in the questions. Okay? What do I mean by challenge the assumptions? This is the way to get the really good marks. So if there's a question that has assumptions built into it, challenge the assumptions within that particular question. So, I don't know, it's given, this wouldn't be a question you get in world politics or intro to politics, but let's just say in an exam the question was, when did the post-war consensus break down? Okay? Well, that question assumes that there is a post-war consensus. Okay? So a really, really good question might challenge that at the outset and go, well, there wasn't one, and these are the reasons why, and so on. So a really good question might challenge built-in assumptions built in to the title. And the other thing that's really important is to set and justify parameters clearly, because you might get a question that sounds quite broad, okay? And you might think, there's no way I can answer that within 40, 45 minutes. So what you can do at the outset is set and justify the parameters clearly. Because, you know, this is what I'm going to focus on, this is what I think is going to be important, and why I'm focusing on these things. To set and justify the parameters clearly at the start, because you can't cover everything within an exam question, and that allows you to give some focus to it. Also, define necessary terms, give clear definitions of things where appropriate, and show that you know the conceptual vocabulary. Often in politics, we're dealing with essentially contested concepts. Everyone has different ideas of power, authority, democracy. Lots of people have different understandings. To give your definitions, have clarity, conceptual clarity is really, really important. And write like a political scientist, do not write like a journalist. Okay? Got nothing against journalists, but this is a politics exam, not the day there. Okay? Right? And don't... I think injecting humour can be risky as well, okay? Trying to write jokes in an exam may not actually go down that well, okay? It's a serious exercise. So don't just rely on the lectures. As good as, obviously all our lectures are absolutely amazing, but as good as they are, they're going to give a good starting point and overview. University is about independent learning, independent research, and the examiner will want to see evidence of wider reading, wider understanding. It's good to include names of authors and scholars where it's relevant, but do not go over the top. And I think the key thing about university exams is that argument is far more important than stuffing answers full of names and facts. Of course you do need names and facts and information and knowledge, but argument is far more important. What we're looking at is argument. Evidence, having a clear argument all the way through, backing up your argument with facts, literature, evidence, and so on. So a strong argument is far more important than stuffing answers full of names and facts. So it is a careful balance needed. Please remember the marking criteria. If you go to our undergraduate handbook at that link, it gives you the marking criteria. And it says what it's basically, it's a 17-point marking scale. So everything you write is marked on a 17-point marking scale, from 96 at the top down to 0 at the bottom. Okay?
So it's a 17, I think it's 0 or 12, isn't it? I think you can get basically a 17 point marking scale, 96 at the top.
Each individual essay is going to be marked on that scale. So you could get an 81 for a question, or a 74, or a 68, or a 65, 55, whatever. However, the overall exam mark may not be on the 17 point marking scale. So if you've written an exam and you've got 74 for two of your answers and 68 for two of your answers, that would be 71 for the overall exam. So each individual answer is on the 17 point scale, but the final mark for the exam may not be on the 17 point scale. Does that make sense? People looking puzzled. So if you've got two 74s and two 68s for your exam answers, you'd then get 71 for the exam, because it would be those four marks divided by four to give you your 71, okay? So that's then how it works. And they're not memory tests, as I said, about demonstrating understanding and your grasp of ideas to argue in a case. And first year exams are anonymously marked to ensure fairness, and they do go through a kind of a internal moderation process within the department as well. So, in terms of structure, have a very clear structure in your essays, so outlining what you're going to do, what you're going to do next, and so on. We want to hear your views, your thoughts, backed up by the literature and the evidence, and in the process, taking on the counter-arguments and why you do not believe them to be credible. So what that means is you want your voice going, working all the way through the exam. I think when you're doing A-levels, you're kind of taught to kind of do, there's this argument, then there's that argument, then in your conclusion, you say what you think. I think the best exam answers, your voice, your view, is going to be apparent all the way through the answer from start to finish. So your voice coming through all the way through, but backed up by the literature and the evidence to support your argument, and showing why you do not believe the alternative arguments are credible. So yes, it needs to be a balanced exam answer in the sense of you are explaining all the possible views, but you're explaining why one of them you feel is more credible than the other and why. Okay? Description should be limited. Don't just repeat what the marker can be found in the textbook, essentially. And this is a very important rule. You must not make substantial use of the same material in more than one question, okay? So do not repeat, you can't be marked for the same thing twice, okay? So you can't repeat, if you repeat material in different answers, then you won't get marks for it. And similarly, you can't be repeating material across modules as well. So if you've submitted a material in a PR21 assessed essay that's been assessed, you can't repeat that in an exam for another module. However, it's absolutely fine to repeat material in formative essays that haven't been assessed because they haven't been formally assessed. So absolutely fine to repeat material you've used in a formative essay for Intro to Politics or World Politics. You just must not repeat the same material twice in assessed work that's actually been assessed. Yeah.
So could I not answer a question on liberalism in World Politics and
you could, as long as you're answering it in a different way and focusing on different things. If you're repeating the same material and it was discovered, then that could be potentially an issue.
But, so I'm not saying you can't do it, I'm just saying you just need to be careful. Okay? Okay, yep.
Your answers the same sources, though, is there overlap?
Yeah, I don't think you could be restricted from you. I think it would be very difficult to avoid using same sources. I think it's basically a rule in the undergraduate textbook, in the undergraduate handbook, it says you must not be repeating substantive arguments, theories, and whatever. So I think, yes, of course, you can't avoid any overlap at all. Yeah. It'd be impossible. But you've just got to be cautious and careful. And it's in the PACE undergraduate handbook if you do want to look at that in more detail. Now, what happens when you have done your exams, basically? The politics department is very unusual because we give individual written feedback on your exams. Now, you might not get this if you're from joint degrees, other departments might not do it, but for PACE modules, Intro to Politics and World Politics, you will get individual written feedback on your exams, released to you via tabular, okay, broken down to exam question. So you will get feedback on your four exam questions that you write, released to you via Tabula. Okay? And do remember that in addition to the feedback we give to you, the written feedback we give to you, always says at the bottom of your feedback sheets, you can then discuss that with the marker. So if anything is unclear, or you feel that there's not clarity, or the feedback isn't good enough, sure, that wouldn't be the case, but if you did feel that, then you can go along and speak to the marker in their advice and feedback hours as well, and their name should be listed at the bottom of the feedback sheet. And we will put up online, at that web link, full details of when your remarks and feedback will be released, but it's likely to be in week 10, okay? Week 10 of next term. And what will happen is in University House, the progression list. So the list will go up in University House sometime in week 10, I'll confirm here at the time, about whether you passed or failed your first year, okay? You can request that your name is not on that list, if you wish, okay, and that's outlined in the undergraduate handbook as well. So under the Data Protection Act, you can request your name is removed. Normally the names go up in University House, and then your marks will then be released soon after that, marks via start.warrit, and then your feedback via Tabula, okay? So it'll be a three-stage process. Whether you've gone on to your next year, then your individual marks for modules, and then the feedback will be released as well. As I said, there is a moderation process for first year exams, and when you go into your second and third year, they will also go through a second external examiner process as well. So in your second, so at the first year, there's internal moderation, so they're marked, moderated. Second and third year exams, they're marked, moderated, and then some go to external examiners from other universities as well. Anonymous marking, as I said, would also ensure that if the moderation process revises marks up or down, that the feedback will reflect that. And the other thing that we do in PACE, and again, maybe other departments may do it a little bit differently, is in PACE we only give out confirmed marks. So we don't release provisional marks. We only release marks after they've been moderated. Some departments just give provisional marks to students, okay? And that means some departments may get marks out a little bit quicker. But in PACE, we take the view, because I know that it's caused quite a lot of stress and anxiety to students when you get provisional marks that may change. So in PACE, we prefer to give out the final marks after they've been moderated, okay? So we give out final marks. 20 working days feedback policy does not currently apply to exams, but obviously we get the marks and feedback to you as quickly as we possibly can. I mean, one of the reasons a 20 working days feedback policy doesn't apply to exams is that hardly any departments give exam feedback, and obviously PACE does, but also pragmatically we need to ensure that the exam boards are met before we actually release the marks back to you. Now, this is another thing that's often unpopular. We get so many questions on this. At A-level, you're often used to being able to ask for things to be remarked, aren't you? Okay, there's a remarking process. I think you have to pay for it, though, don't you? But you can arrange for it to be remarked. Universities do not operate in the same kind of way, okay? So Warwick University, the university policy, again, does not have remarks. Things are not remarked. So, unfortunately, that can't be done. However, for first-year students, there is a right of appeal if you do fail and you're asked to withdraw from the university. Because if you take your first-year exams, don't pass them all, and also fail the resits as well, then you can technically be asked to leave the university. That's very rare it happens, but it can happen on some occasions. And in that situation, you can appeal the decision and obviously get advice from the Students' Union and so on. We often get students that say, can I have a copy of my exam scripts? Okay? But in PACE, there's not much point in having it because we don't write any feedback actually on the exam itself. We write all the feedback actually on the feedback that's released to you. Okay? So, I know I've given some tough messages, but I made myself unpopular, which isn't good. But let's have some reassurance to actually come back with some positivity, okay? lots of our students do incredibly well. We have some of the best, I think we've got the best students in the country, okay? Better than any other university. So we have really, really good students. You've all been really well taught, and our students do really, really well. And it's important that exams are tough, though, because we want Warwick Department to be really credible in kind of the standards that it sets for our students. That's why we're number three in the league tables ahead of Cambridge for politics, because we're actually a really, really good department that challenge and test our students, and our students do incredibly well. And remember, at the end of the day, up to 95% of our students end up getting first or 2-1 at the end of their final year, okay? So, we not only want you to pass, we want you to do well. We're not trying to trip you up. We're delighted when students do well. And we expect very high standards, which our external examiners commend us on. So, there's lots of advice. If you do feel that you get particularly stressed during exams, there's a workshop on managing exam anxiety on the 3rd of May, taking place in Westwood. There's another workshop run by Student Careers and Skills that you can go along to if you want to. Lots of advice through the Student Union as well, through their Student Union pages. Just calm, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Two very, very important things. If you need special exam arrangements, you can request them. If you need extra time in exams, you've got medical reasons and so on, you can request them. And a really, really important thing on mitigating circumstances, I want you to listen to really, really seriously, okay? If there are reasons why, medical reasons, welfare reasons, affecting your study, it's really, really important you submit special consideration for mitigating circumstances. There's a form on the Politics Department website. You hand it into your office with evidence, you speak to your personal tutor, and that then goes on file and can determine decisions that are made by the exam board. So if there's anything affecting your exam performance, your welfare or medical reasons, I really, really recommend that you submit that. So, good luck. Thank you very much. Thank you.